It's good to be with you again this year. It's been 3 years since we've been here, and certainly it's good to be with you. I see new faces, and that's good. And I see a lot of children, and that's wonderful. Because today is Father's Day, and I want to talk to you this morning concerning something that's coming into our nation. And I didn't know about this until less than a year ago. I think each and every congregation should be made aware of what I want to speak to you a few moments this morning. And at the end of this lesson, I'd like for, if you got comments or thoughts concerning it, I don't know that I'll know the answers, but we can talk about it. And it's something that our culture is drastically changing in our great nation. And it seems to be not slowing down. And so, in fact, if you have statistics on this, and we'll go into more of this as we go on, of how we are digressing and it seems to be escalating. But I want to talk to you a few moments concerning the Queen James Version of the Bible. And I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that or not. I had not until a few months ago. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32, I use the New American Standard Version. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 32, it's talking, the Queen James Version, as you can see here, I believe that the Queen James Version of the Bible is to justify homosexuality. Dinah and I, Guy and Joel in the South Africa, they call it, collected us at the airport in Spokane. And on the way back, we asked that we needed to stop at Walmart and get some items. So I'm from Alabama, I'm from the South, and homosexuality is still this way down there. And so we go in Walmart here in Moscow, and Dinah readily picked up on it, and she said, "Look at that above the cash register." I don't know whether you've been in there or not, but at the top of the ceiling they had the rainbow. This is a copy of the Bible, the Queen James Version. And it was hanging from above the cash registers. And by the way, this is Pride Month. I learned from the years gone by. And I told Larry and Stephanie this morning that, you know, some people said, "Where'd you find those clothes?" I said, "I found them on the bed this morning because Dinah lays out my clothes." And I got on a pink shirt, and these different colors in this Pride Month mean different things. Pink means sex. That's what it means when you go and do the research. And so, but in Romans chapter 1, it names a lot of sins here. And notice our culture, in verse 32, this is familiar, I imagine, to most all of you. "And although they knew," they know the ordinance of God. They know the ordinance of God. What I want to do is go through 8 verses that they have that they've altered or changed, and they know the ordinance of God, or they would not have changed the word. Romans 1:32, they know the ordinance of God. New American Standard. "That those who practice such things are worthy of death," worthy of spiritual death. And if you practice such thing, you will be worthy of spiritual death. "They not only do the same, but also they give a hearty approval of those who practice them." Boy, doesn't that sound familiar to our culture today? In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, something familiar to most all of us. Notice verse 20. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Homosexuality is now known culturally as something good. Transgender. I mean, now then, on my lesson I don't know how that BT or whatever you call it, bisexual, transsexual, BGT, I can't remember the initials now, but even they put a Q on the end of them. So we're not regressing, we're escalating. The first versions, I ordered this through Amazon, and I know that Amazon's liberal, but you can't hardly go anywhere without how are you going to even buy anything? You see what I mean? Things are getting so that the support of this kind of thing is politically correct, but brethren, it's not biblical correct. I purchased this Bible from Amazon so I could use it to prepare a lesson, because I look for in the future. I served as an elder for several years in a congregation. Lawsuits. Going all the way to the Supreme Court with this. What is going to be our position as a part of the Lord's church? Are we going to become politically correct? Are we going to stay biblically correct? It's going to be a challenge. I was a former school teacher, and I try to keep things simple. There are going to be challenges. This is the first edition of the Queen James Bible. And I'm going to have to do some reading of some of their writings on the first few pages. So I know I may put you to sleep when I do this. But if you will, bear with me. And then I want to go into those eight scriptures that they have altered, or that they really added to. Well, why was this version printed? It appears that it was printed to support homosexuality. And under the heading on page 1, it's called a gay Bible. And I do not call it gay, because when I grew up, as well as Guy and some of the older ones, well, I shouldn't say, that's not politically correct either. But when I grew up, gay meant happy. And now we change words to make it fit our agenda. And I apologize, guys. But a gay Bible, the Queen James Bible, is based on the King James Bible. And I do not agree. And I talked to Larry this morning. I was telling Larry, I said, history is based upon 4 non-changeable facts. First of all, history is events that's happened in the past. Secondly, history, it has to be witnessed. I want you to think about this. Thirdly, not only is it witnessed and happened in the past, but there has to be records written down concerning these events. Fourthly, with history, those records have to be preserved from then until now. The greatest history book in the world is God's Word, the Bible. History is based on faith. We know this is Word of God. How? Because of faith. I know this is not, they altered some portions of this Word of God, and this is not God's Word. You know, whenever in you keep Scripture in its context, if it's a pretext, you don't keep Scripture in pretext. You know, some people want to have a pretext. They want to have pre means before. They have a conceived, and a lot of times it's an agenda. They want their, and so they take it and make it a pretext before. No, you keep it in context. And then you notice words a lot in the Bible. Not all the words, but a lot in the Bible, words that begin with C-O, C-O-N, C-O-M means with. If you want to keep Scriptures in its context, you obey the commandments. If you want to use words like D-I-D-E, in most cases in the Bible, it means a part. Not always. You can have a disciple. You can have a deacon. David, D-I-D-E. But in most cases, divorce, division, apart. If you want to destroy the Lord's church, politically correctness, people come in with a pretext and not a context. And so, the Queen James Version, Newsmax on this past Friday, I get it on my email and that kind of thing, Newsmax, and it's a conservative news network or news article. Friday, June 17th, Charlie McCarthy said, "Americans' belief in God has fallen dramatically in recent years to the lowest level since Gallup poll began polling it 78 years ago. The vast majority, 81% of the U.S. adults, believe in God, but the total was down 6 percentage points from 2017. A total of 17% of Gallup's May of that 81% said that they do not believe in God. And notice our young adults, 68% of this 17% are young adults. We're losing our young people to the world and to the political correctness. In another related story from Newsmax on Gallup poll, 50% of the Americans has poor moral values. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 in New American Standard Version, "Do not be conceived, bad company corrupts good morals." Hosea, we read this. In February the 24th of 21, Meredith DeLesso of ABC News Final Hour said more Americans identify as LGBT, now they've added the Q to it, than ever before. He continued to say, according to the Gallup poll released Wednesday, 5.6% of the United States adults identify as LGBT. That's up from 4.5% based on the company's 2017 data. In 2012, when Gallup began tracking the measure, that number was 3.5%. And I remember a few years ago that during the month of June, they had the colors flown over the United States White House. In June of this month, I don't know which year it was, you may remember that. And it flown over the White House in Washington, D.C. For example, and I know well with all the immigrants that's come in our country lately, I don't know how many we have here, but let's say that we have 350 million people in the United States. And according to these statistics, 5.6% were claimed to be homosexuals. That means one out of five people basically claim in our country to be, but 95% do not. The Presbyterian Church in the United States, the largest body of Presbyterians in the country, approved a change in the wording of its constitution to allow gay, I don't like to use the word, but gay and lesbian within the church, the Presbyterian Church. This is found in this news article that I retrieved and I'm presenting to you. And so what they're saying here in this article, now then, priests or ministers of the Presbyterian denomination can perform homosexual marriages. Senator Bailey continued on May the 17th of 2015 from the Washington Post, the church, which has more than 1.7 million members, the Presbyterian, were to allow clergy to perform same-sex weddings. That vote gave clergy the choice of whether to preside over same-sex marriages in states where they are legal in action, which is now allowed in 36 states and the District of Columbia. Clergy will not be compelled to perform same-sex marriages, but you have that option, they're saying. In the Queen James Version of the Bible that I want to talk to you about are 8 verses. But you know, Peter says in 2 Peter, I want to read this, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, where Peter is writing here, and he says concerning Paul's letters, he said, as also in all his, Paul's, epistles, his letters, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, Peter says to these brethren, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, I'm telling you this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Homosexuality in the Bible, from page 1 in the Queen James Version. They claim that homosexuality was first mentioned in the Bible in 1946. I got this direct quote from the Queen James Bible. They claim that it was first mentioned in the Revised Standard Version. There's no mention of a reference to homosexuality, their claim is, in any Bible prior to this. Only interpretations have been made. Anti-LGBT Bible interpretations commonly cite only 8 verses in the Bible that they interpret to mean homosexuality is a sin. 8 verses, they say, out of thousands. It continues to read, the Queen James Bible seeks to resolve interpretive ambiguity. Oxford Dictionary defines the word ambiguity as the quality of being open to more than one interpretation. In other words, open-mindedness. In the Bible, we edited, they said, 8 verses in a way that makes homophobic interpretations impossible. Who is Queen James? The authors of Queen James said, this is another quote, the King James Bible is the most popular Bible of all times, and arguably the most important English language document of all time. It is the brainchild and the namesake of King James I, who wanted an English language Bible that all could own and read. The King James Version, as it is called, has been in print for over 400 years and has brought more people to Christ than any other Bible translation, commonly known to biographers, but often surprising to most Christians. King James I was a well-known, and they said, bisexual. We're going to go on. That's why I have to read this before we can go to the 8 verses. And it'll help us understand. They claim that King James was a bisexual. Don and I, we've traveled a lot of places in the world, and we were on our way to South Africa. So we had a 10-hour layover in London, England. So instead of sitting at the airport for 10 hours, because you fly over at night to England, you fly over at night to go to South Africa. And so we decided we'd go check out different castles. Henry VIII, he had a lot of them because he had wives. So we go out to Hampton Court. It was one of Henry VIII's castles. But I didn't know this when I got there. I knew it was Henry VIII's castle, but I didn't know it was the castle that King James lived in 100 years later. See, Henry VIII was early 1500. King James was in the early 1600s. So we went by, and when we got there, we've seen this big room over here, and it's where some of those men that was translating the Bible into the English language, that's where they were at. And I thought that was pretty neat. But there was no record where we was at that King James was a bisexual. But this is what these people claim. Though he did marry a woman, they said, his many gay relationships were so well known that amongst some of his friends in court, he was known as Queen James. That's why the Bible is called Queen James. Because they claim King James was a bisexual. It's a great debt and honor that we named the Queen James Bible, they said, quote. Why we chose the King James Bible? We, the authors of the Queen James Version, chose the 1769 form of the King James Bible for our revision for the following reasons. One, this is a quote from them. The obvious gay link to King James known amongst friends and courtiers, that means one in attendance in a royal court, courtiers as Queen James because of his, King James, many gay lovers. No Bible is perfect, but everyone knows the King James Bible. It is arguably the most popular Bible in history and the basis of many other translations. Most English Bible translations that actively condemn homosexuality have based themselves on the King James Version and have erroneously adapted its words to support their own agenda. We wanted to return to the clean source and start here. Notice they said clean source and start there. Some claim the language of the King James Version is antiquity, but we believe it is poetic, the traditional and ceremonial. Christianity is an ancient tradition, and the King James and resultant Queen James Versions remind us and keep us connected to that tradition. What we changed, they said. Quote, we changed the Bible says nothing about homosexuality. However, there might be no other argument in contemporary faith as heated as what the Bible is interpreted to say about homosexuality. The Bible is the Word of God translated by man. These are quotes from them. This saying nothing countless translations and evolution of language itself means the Bible can be interpreted in different ways, leading to what we, the authors, and there were many authors of the Queen James Version, called interpretive ambiguity. In editing the Queen James Bible, we were faced with the decision to modify existing interpretively ambiguous language, or simply to delete it. You know, we're not to add to or take away, but if you get the Queen James Version and you want to go be it, there have been some adding to and taking away from it. There are problems with removal of verses, they said. It doesn't address the problem of interpretive ambiguity. It only brushes it under the rug. It renders it an incomplete Bible. Revelation says not to edit the book. And people often extend that to mean the entire Bible, not just the book of Revelation. Continuing with their quote, we also refuse to just say that that's outdated and omit something. Yes, things like Leviticus are horribly outdated, they said. But that doesn't stop people from citing them. We wanted our Bible bulletproof from the one shooting the bullets. What we change continue. There are also problems with editing verses. The context, the idiom, the grammar from the time are almost impossible to recreate. Changes could further create interpretive ambiguity. Many versions of the Bible translated and published since King James Bible have changed the language. So the precedent has been set for editing. Furthermore, both problems with editing are easily addressed by deciding to make the edits as simple as possible. We edited the Bible to prevent homophobic interpretation. We made changes to 8 verses. You know, if you're going to make a counterfeit religion, you don't put, like for example, with George Washington on the dollar bill. Now, if you're going to make a counterfeit religion, you don't put Bugs Bunny on the dollar bill. If you're going to make a counterfeit religion, you try to keep it close to the origin. But you don't like the original. So you counterfeit it or change it with 8 verses. But you know, if you change 8 verses, you don't have the complete Word of God. I read through it. The other verses are just like the King James. So if you counterfeit something, you keep it as close to the original. That's what denominations is. It's a counterfeit religion. Why would you change it? Unless you have an agenda and you want to. Was King James really a homosexual? Jennifer Povey, she wrote on October the 8th of 2020 that King James was a bisexual. You can find her information if you want to write that down at that website. She said that King James had several male lovers. She said that the most famous favorite was euphemism, was of course George Villiers, the first Duke of Buckingham. It's noted, as they claim, a fabulous Bible. Another quote from the authors from page 1, the Queen James Bible is a big, fabulous Bible. It is printed and bound in the United States on thick, high quality paper in a beautiful, readable typeface. It is the perfect Bible. Notice what they say. It's a perfect Bible for ceremony, for study, for spirit, sermon, for gift, for giving, or simply to put on display in the home or the church. Continued quote, you can't choose your sexuality, they say. Although, I've heard recently that, some liberal news media claim that men now can give birth. You may have heard some of that. But you know, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And whenever I was preaching a lesson in Payette a few years ago, and many of you know this, I was preaching concerning, you remember a few years ago, the CEO of Chick-fil-A made this public statement that marriage should be between a man and a woman. So I developed a lesson, Marriage Under Attack. Included in this lesson, I was teaching was Genesis 19. You know the story of Lot and the homosexuals of the city of Sodom. And there was this young man in his late 20s, be like in an audience here, and he stands up in the middle of my lesson. And he starts yelling at me. I never experienced that before. But brethren, it's headed for the church. And he stood up and he said, you're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He pointed his finger at me. He said, you're preaching and teaching hate. And he said, the gospel of Jesus is peace, joy, and love. And it is. That's a part of it. A major part of what's in this right here is truth. But you're preaching hate. That's what he said. Well, I was from Alabama, and I was no football coach. I've had people yell at me before. If you stay in coaching and fishing and football in Alabama, if you don't win all of them, you'll know what I'm talking about. But many of you know Ron Rasmussen and Ed Bryant. Ron stands up. This guy's pointing his finger at me. And we had one of our widow women, she was sitting on the front bench, and she never says anything. She's just... And he said, when he stood up and hollered, he said, "You're preaching hate. You're not preaching the truth." And she turned around and she said, "Yes, he is," like that right there. And see, I've never, you know... But it just caught her. She was apologizing, but she was standing so much for the truth, she couldn't keep it in herself. And Ron stands up and he points his finger at this man. I thought we was going to have a debate right there. And he was a woman with this man. So I assume he was not a homosexual. But there's a woman with the man. And they passed flowers out over town. The titles of my lesson. And so, one of those, marriage under attack. So that got their curiosity. And so they came. And so when Ron pointed his finger at the man, he said, "You let him respond to your accusation." In other words, you're accusing him of preaching hate. You let me respond to what you've accused him. I've never experienced this, and maybe some of you have experienced this before. But it's coming. Know your facts. Know your scripture. Well, he didn't want that. And she was really locked in on that lesson. I was using PowerPoint, had the scriptures up. And he said, "Let's go." He's standing up and he just took his hand and tapped her shoulder. "Let's go." She didn't want to leave. She wanted to hear this lesson. And after two or three more times, they get up and leave. And they don't, you know, the door, I mean, it's not gently closed when he goes out. The reason I wanted to bring you this morning, and we've got time to go through those eight scriptures. Be prepared. It's coming. But we're to serve God no matter what. Let's look at the eight verses. Number one, Genesis 19 and 5. I'm going to read the King James Version. Then I'm going to make a comparison with the Queen James Version. The King James Version, Genesis 19 and 5, and you know the context of Lot and the homosexuals and Mary and Sodom and the angels. And some of the homosexual men of the city of Sodom, and they called unto Lot and they said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out that we may know them." See, they take and they say there's, the word homosexuality is not mentioned in the Bible before 1946. But now let's go to the second one of the King James Version. Genesis 4 and verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. To know and to and knew is referring to the same. So it's referring to sexually. It's what they're referring to. If you're going to use the same word in chapter 4 and verse 1 that you do in chapter 19 and verse 5. Now let's go to the Queen James Version. The Queen James Version, "And they called unto Lot," these homosexuals, "and they said unto him, Where are the men who came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may rape and humiliate them." Now this is found on page 21. In the Queen James Version. What's the difference? Rape. They claim that the sin is not homosexuality, but the sin is rape. How convenient. "That we may know them, that we may rape them, and humiliate them. As I understand, the author of the Queen James Version claimed that rape and humiliate is the sin. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, the New American Standard. Infinite means, according to Webster's Dictionary, having feminine qualities. I'm telling you, if you watch commercials, I mean on TV today, and if you, this week, since it's Pride Month, this man was, I thought of this infant, you know, dressed up like a woman, a man, twirling, and he was dancing, and you have all kinds of demonstrations and assemblies all through the United States this month. It's going on even this month. And so, second one, Leviticus 18 and verse 22, which they said is horribly outdated. In Leviticus 18 and verse 22, the King James Version says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." In Leviticus 20 and verse 13, the King James Version, I want to use two verses before we make a comparison. "If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Now the Queen James Version, word for word, chapter 18, 22. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind in the temple of Molech. It is an abomination." Now the word Molech is used in this close area. And now they were idolatry. But that's not the way the King James Version reads. So you've added to this. In Leviticus 20 and verse 13, the Queen James Version, "If a man also lie with mankind in the temple of Molech," so they put the word Molech again in there, "as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Page 76. Number 2 and 3 in the Queen James Version, the temple of Molech has been added. It is not in the Hebrew. Leviticus 18:21, a verse close to the one we're talking about here, 22. Molech is mentioned in this verse, but Molech is not mentioned in verse 22. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed, offspring, New American Standard Version, pass through the fire of Molech, neither shall thou profane the name of God, I am the Lord. On page 5 of the Queen James Version, the author said, "We assert that Leviticus 18:21 refers to lying with these pagan male prostitutes as a form of pagan idolatry." That's why they use Molech. And this fits their story. Now all this, I'm going to leave you this outline, and all this will be the PowerPoint. Larry's got it on your computer if you want to find these resources, these sources that I'm using. Romans 1 and verse 26, this is familiar to us. In Romans 1, 26, the King James Version, it reads, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." Verse 27 of Romans chapter 1. "And likewise also," this is the King James Version, "and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Now let's go to the Queen James Version. The author said on page 6, "To reflect our more examined understanding of what is natural," you remember leaving the natural affection, "and to clarify the subject matter of Romans 1, we have changed the verses to the following." This is a quote from them, the authors of the Queen James Version. Romans 1:26, Queen James Version. Their women did change their natural use into which is against nature, and likewise also the men left the natural use of the woman burned in ritual. The word ritual, according to Webster's dictionary, is defined as according to a religious law. Noun use of it. A system of rites, a ceremony or act or action. And so it said, burned in ritual lust one towards another. Romans 1:27. Men with men working that which is pagan and unseemly. For this cause God gave the idolaters up into vile affections. Idolaters, pagan worship, idol worship. Both God gave up, they say, in heterosexual and homosexual sex was an extremely major component of pagan rituals, according to the authors. And they gave that up into vile affection, receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. Another, number 6. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Paul writes, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" This is the King James Version. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infidels." That's dressing up like a woman, dancing around, running around, infidels, "nor abusers of themselves with mankind." 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, the Queen James Version. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor morally weak, nor promiscuous." Promiscuous means not restricted to one sexual partner. You can have multiple. Did you know that in homosexuality they have many, many partners over a period of time? It's what is mentioned on the news. And so they claim this is promiscuous. It was allowed. Number 7 scripture. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10, "For whoremongers," this is the King James Version, "whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind," that's homosexuals in the New American Standard. It uses the word homosexuals. "For men stealers," kidnappers in the New American Standard. One version said slave traders, kidnappers, men stealers. "For liars," for perjured people. Oxford Dictionary defines that word perjured, willfully told untruth. You remember, perjury, you cannot lie under oath and all that. That's so it's talking about. "And if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." Now let's go to the Queen James Version. "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured person, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." They left out the words "defile themselves with mankind." Number 8, the last one, Jude verse 7. "Even as Sodom," King James Version, "even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." The Queen James Version. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after non-human flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So they changed the word from strange flesh to non-human flesh. As many of you know, I just told you about that. There will be more challenges that's going to come. This is straight from Satan. And some at Corinth practiced homosexuality. And what did Paul say? He said in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 9, New American Standard Version, "Such as were some of you, but you were washed," that means you were baptized into Christ, But you were washed, but you were sanctified. That means you're set apart from the world. But you were justified. That means you're saved by the blood of Christ. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of God. I don't know how many of you have been exposed to the Queen James Version, but it's a reality now. It's sad. We had this couple back home. This woman, she had four children. She was a school teacher. She had two grown children, and then she had two small children. She came in one day and told her husband, who was a gospel preacher, that she had a girlfriend. And that she was going to go with her. So they tried to work the differences out. And it was not... They couldn't do it. So he put her away for adultery. Homosexuality, which is a part of adultery. You know what I'm talking about? If you look at these sins, you have like fornication. Fornication is all sexual immorality. It's like an umbrella. And underneath this umbrella is many sexual immoral sins that's listed, like in 1 Corinthians 6, like in Romans chapter 1, like in other passages. And so, one of these is like sexual with like a married person with a single person. That's still called adultery. One of them has to be married. Another sexual sin or fornication, it could be sex with a single person with a single person. That's still fornication. It's not adultery, but it's fornication. Another sin underneath it is like, for example, beast. That's dealt with having sex with an animal. That's fornication. That's sexual immorality. All of this is under that umbrella. Another is homosexuality. We just talked about that. That's sexual immorality. That's homosexuality. I mean, homosexuality is fornication. So you have all these sins. So she comes to this lady. So the church, they announced they're going to withdraw from her. Now, this is amazing. We're officially withdrawing from you Sunday morning. Well, on that Sunday morning, she showed up at the building with her girlfriend. And they sat on the front bench as the congregation, it was announced that they're withdrawing from her. It's coming, isn't it? It's already here. All these vile sins. You know, God even said in Genesis 1:26 that He created them what? Male and female. God said that. They claim to believe in God, that God is such a loving God, that He would not condemn someone who claimed to love God. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep whatever you want to believe. Is that what He said? No, He said, you'll keep my commandments. So man wants to alter it and change it. We've got about 5 minutes. If you have some questions or thoughts or anything concerning what we just talked about. I know this is a Bible class setting, so I don't have a problem.
You know,
you're welcome if you got any thoughts or comments. It's so mind-boggling, you might not have. How many had heard of this before? Okay, Guy?
I have the New American Standard, okay. And I just went to the foreword at the front of the Bible, and there's just a little paragraph. It says, "The New American Standard Bible has been produced with the conviction that the words of Scriptures, as originally penned in the Hebrew, Arabic, and Greek, were inspired by God. Since they are the eternal Word of God, the Holy Scripture speaks with fresh power to each generation to give wisdom that leads to salvation, that men may serve Christ to be glory to God. The editorial board has a twofold purpose in making this translation: to adhere as closely as possible to the original language of the Holy Scriptures, and to make the translation in a fluent and readable style according to the English usage."
Yes. And
it's like, again, this is New American Standard and stuff, but the idea is to make the Scripture, or the Word, this Bible, the New American Standard, as close as to God's Word.
That's something.
I mean, people here in the congregation know, but when I was at Schweitzer, I was working with a lady that was a Jehovah's Witness. And they have the same thing. They have a translation that was made to adhere to their doctrine and was altered so they can teach from that. They can teach their premise and their ideas that, you know, Jesus wasn't God and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You're right. We have to be aware of that kind of stuff.
And, you know, like Peter said, we cannot, 2 Peter 3:16, we've got 17, we have to be aware. You know, I don't know a lot of things about denominations. I just, you know, I don't know all their doctrines. I mean, there's about, how many, there's over 1,000 of them, so it'd be hard to learn all their doctrines. But I just try to put a major focus on this. And I appreciate that, Guy, because that's the basically the one I've used. And it's just, it's amazing what man wants to do today. And I tell you, the internet is a wonderful thing. The printing press went in the mid-1500s in Gutenberg, Germany. If you just stop and think about it, it's a wonderful thing. Because you think of our brethren in 1022 versus 2022. You think about what God holds us. We got the Word of God in its completeness, translated into our language, and just like Guy said, as accurately as they could do, possibly, to the original. We live in the year 2022. Now, if you're the Lord, and He's going to be our judge, in which He is, who would you hold more accountable? Someone that's got the Word in their own language, even free or at minimum cost? And I taught school in Alabama. You had to attend school till you're 16 years old. Some type of school, home school, private school, public school. Unless you are not mentally capable, I don't know of anyone that can't read and write at 16 years old. With a mental mind. And if you got that, you better put your head in the book and know what's in it. Because it's going to judge us. And I'll tell you, people that are ignorant, they're going to play to the political correctness. And they're going to go with it. Because that's the least resistance, isn't it? It's terrible what is happening in our nation. And you know why? It's like a math teacher. A little boy come in and he said he failed his test. He said, "Oh, it's my pencil's fault. My pencil's fault." No. Not the pencil. Any other thoughts? We're right at 10:30.